Ruth chapter 1. We are studying Departing the House of Bread, and this is part 6 in our study. Ruth chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading with the first verse. We're going to read all 5 verses. As y'all know, this is a study on the first 5 verses of the book of Ruth. And the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, Euphrates, of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, how rich your word is. God, I never stand to be amazed, Lord, or fail to be amazed at God, Lord, all that you have in your word when we stop and we take the time to look and to really see. God, we cannot approach your word without God calling upon you to give us understanding, to give us enlightenment. Because God, except the Spirit of God reveal these things to us, God, we miss it. So, Father, just take control tonight. God, give us something to help us. To help us, God, to be better servants for Thee. To be able, God, to withstand the wiles of the devil. To be able, Lord, to follow You and walk with You in spirit and in truth. God, I just pray You'll take control. Glorify Thy Son. And oh my God, to You be all the praise and all the glory for everything that You do. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. We've been studying about a man named Elimelech who left the house of bread. And the word Bethlehem means house of bread. He departed, beloved, from the will of God. You see, God had led the children of Israel to that land. And it was God's will that they be in that land, that they possess that land. But this man left, beloved, the will of God and took his family with him. And he went to dwell in the wicked, sinful, idolatrous land of Moab. And there, beloved, he met disaster. You see, he died. But not only did he die, but his sons died. And his wife was left destitute. This is a story, beloved, that though it happened long, long ago, listen, it's being repeated time and time and time again. It is still being repeated today. You know, there's not a one of us that doesn't know somebody who used to go to church, who used to serve God, who used to pray and worship at the Lord's feet and live their lives for Him, who dwelt, beloved, in the house of God, in the house of bread, the center of God's will. And then one day we look up, beloved, and they're gone. And they don't worship God anymore. And they don't serve and obey the Lord anymore. And they don't follow Him anymore. They left God's will and began to live in Moab. To live, beloved, in the wickedness of this world. And many times, beloved, there they continue until destruction falls. Just like it did Elimelech. You know, I've never seen that happen and not wonder why. I mean, why? Why would they depart the will of God? Why would they leave God's will, beloved, after all that God has done for them? Why would they turn away from a God who loves them, beloved, for the wickedness and sin of this world, for Moab? Well, we've been trying to answer that question our last three meetings. We've been trying to answer why He left the house of bread. And we've done it by looking at what influenced Elimelech to do that thing, to do such a thing. And if you remember, beloved, there was first the physical reason, the famine, hard times. And a lot of times hard times come in people's lives and they leave the will of God, beloved. And then there was the spiritual reason. You remember Satan, beloved, the devil, who tempted and enticed him to leave. And last time we looked at the national condition. Beloved, the nation that he lived in was backslidden. The people and the leaders around him were backslidden. And we looked at that. Elimelech was surrounded by a nation and a people who would not obey God, who did what was right in their own eyes. In that environment, beloved, he dwelt, beloved, and that environment no doubt had an impact on Elimelech, and it has an impact on people today. Now, tonight, we're going to look at yet a fourth thing that impacted Elimelech's decision to leave the house of bread. And this one, beloved, I call the emotional reason. The emotional reason. See, you got a physical reason, you got a spiritual reason, you got a national reason, and beloved, you have an emotional reason. Now, any one of these, beloved, can influence a person to leave God's will and do wrong. Any combination of them will cause a person to depart the house of bread, beloved, the will of God. In Elimelech's case, beloved, listen, he faced all three. All four. He faced all four. And I'm afraid in most cases, beloved, all four reasons are there. But somebody says, preacher, what is the emotional reason? Beloved, the emotional reason has to do with what Elimelech loved. What he loved the most, or what he loved the best. Beloved, Elimelech, and probably his family, loved the world more than anything else. They loved the world. I'm going to show you why in a minute. Now, I'm not saying that if you'd asked Elimelech, what is it that you love above everything else? Beloved, he would have probably said, oh, I love the Lord. I love God. I love Him more than anything else in the world. But you know, folks, our actions speak louder than our words, don't they? They always do. And so did Elimelech's. You see, despite what Elimelech might have said, beloved, he loved the world. He loved the pleasures of the world. He loved the ease of the world. He loved the riches of the world. He loved the luxuries of the world more than he loved God. Than he loved God. That's why, beloved, when the famine came, the hard times came, he was so quick to disobey God. He was so quick to leave the house of bread for the luxuries and the ease of Moab. And by the way, the Bible tells us that Moab was a land of ease, a land that had escaped, I mean for a long time, escaped the judgment of God until God did finally judge them. But folks, listen, that's what happened to this man. That's what happened to this man. Folks, that famine was something that famine wasn't something that just struck Elimelech and his family. It struck that whole region of Judah, beloved. Yet everyone, beloved, didn't leave Bethlehem. Everyone, beloved, didn't go to Moab. Most endured the hardship. Most stayed in the will of God. But Elimelech didn't. He didn't. Why? Because Elimelech loved the fineries of the world, of Moab, beloved, more than he loved God. More than he loved God. Somebody says, how do you know that, preacher? We know it by the word Ephrates. Look at verse 2. The word Ephrates. And I'm probably mispronouncing it. And I can go online, get the right pronunciation. By the time I get to church, I've lost it. Listen, it says, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrates of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Beloved, now, what does that word mean? And what does it tell us about Elimelech and his family? The word means fruitful. Fruitful. Which is a good thing, amen? Y'all talk to me, okay? Amen? Amen. It means successful. That's a good thing, amen? It means, beloved, prosperous, which is a good thing. Listen, all of these are good things if you keep them in perspective. But see, that's the problem. So many, beloved, don't keep it in perspective. They end up loving the world and the things of the world, the success and the prosperity and the luxuries, more than they love God. More than they love God. What did Paul say? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn over there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. No, you don't. Well, you can turn if you want to. I've got it wrote down. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Listen to this. Which while some are coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Now, compare that scripture to Elimelech. Beloved, he loved the money. The root of all evil is the love of money, the Bible says. And it pierced his soul, beloved, and brought him sorrows. That's the story of Elimelech. He loved money, beloved. Or more precisely, he loved the worldly comforts that money could buy. That money could buy. He loved the world and the things of the world more than he loved God. Why do people love money? Why do they love money? Do they just love that paper or that silver or whatever it is? They love what it can buy. They love what it can buy, beloved. Whether it's luxuries or comfort or power or influence or so-called security or prestige or worldly things. Amos says it like this in the book of Amos. Listen to this. The book of Amos. Boy, Amos laid it on them, beloved, in chapter 6. About their luxuries and their love of those things. I'm going to read 6 verse 1. Amos 6 verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Listen to verse 4. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. That chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive. The banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. You know what Amos is saying? Amos is saying, hey, those who love the things of this world more than they love God, God's going to judge you. God's going to judge you. All these are luxuries that the world offers, that money can buy. Elimelech Ephrates, Elimelech who began, beloved, to love the success and the prosperity and the luxuries more than he loved God. The word Ephrates has several meanings in Scripture. Now follow me closely. That ought not to surprise us because we have words that have several meanings. I mean, if I were to say, here's a mouse, what does that mean? Yeah, it could be a rodent or it could be computer mouse. I mean, so this word has several meanings or usages, beloved, in the Scriptures. And I want to share these with you really quick. All right? For example, beloved, it is used, listen, it's used of one from the tribe of Ephraim. But it is also used as an inhabitant of Bethlehem in the Bible. It's used for those who inhabited Bethlehem. Where did Elimelech live? Bethlehem, all right? It also, listen, it is also used of one who is rich or wealthy or in high position. Dr. Mike Bagwell says he found two sources that stated that an Ephratite was one who enjoyed wealth and ease. And I found one, beloved, reference to that. So it's very possible that verse 2 is speaking not only of Elimelech being an inhabitant of Bethlehem, but that he was wealthy, that he was prosperous, and that he loved the luxuries of this world. Now, if you couple that with the fact that when the famine came, the hard time came, he fled, beloved. And as far as we know, nobody else did, but he fled. Beloved, it sounds very, very likely. And also the fact that when Naomi come back, what was it that she wanted redeemed? His land. Her husband's land. So he was a landowner. He probably, and he was related to Boaz, who was what? Wealthy. So in all probability, beloved, this man was a wealthy man who loved these things so much that when the famine came, he fled. He fled. Listen to me. Everyone faces hard times. Everybody does. Everybody faces lean times. But it's those, beloved, who love the luxuries of this world, beloved, more than they love God, beloved, who flee when the luxuries are threatened, when the luxuries are gone. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Prosperity, success, being fruitful, even having money is not a sin. I wish I had more than what I got because I ain't got none. But beloved, it's when we love and crave those things more than we love and crave God, that's when it becomes sin. That's when it becomes sin. Paul said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Beloved, things money can buy. Listen, these are things of the world. I've never seen money buy salvation. It can't buy heaven. It can't buy peace of heart and peace of mind, can it? It can't do it. And all you got to do is look at somebody like Elvis Presley or Rockefeller or some of these folks. Beloved, it can't buy. It can only buy the things of the world. What does the Bible tell us about loving the world? The world. Look in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. And I'll find it in a minute. I've lost my place, I think. 1 John chapter 2. Look with me at verses 15 through 17. Listen to what God says. Love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Forever. We are not to love the world. The love of the flesh, beloved, or the love of the world and the love of money will destroy our faith. That's what we just read a moment ago about how some erred after the lust of money, beloved, and erred from the faith. It'll destroy your faith. We are not even, beloved, to be friends with the world. Look in James, the book of James, just a few books over. The book of James, look at chapter 4 and verse 4. Listen to this. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Why does he call them that? Go ahead. Because they, listen. We are a spouse to Christ. And beloved, if we got something we love more than we love Christ, we're an adulterer. We're an adulterer. That's right. We're committing spiritual adultery. So he addresses them and he says, ye adulterers, let me find my place again. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world, listen to this, is the enemy of God. Whoa. Boy, that's strong language. How many folks do you think, beloved, come to churches, and I don't mean this ugly, but come to churches on Sunday morning and sit in the pew and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and beloved, they love the things of this world more than they love God. More than they love God. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. This is powerful language. Here was a man. Go ahead. That's James chapter 4, verse 4. You are welcome, Shug. Don't you be sorry. You do that anytime you need to. Here was a man, Elimelech, and his family, who dwelt, beloved, in the house of bread, the place of blessing, whom God, beloved, had blessed with wealth and prosperity. But he began to love the luxuries, to love the prosperity, to love the wealth and all that it could bring and all that it entailed. And then the famine came. And he saw his wealth begin to dwindle. And he saw the luxuries begin to fade away. And his prosperity, beloved, began to disappear. And the Bible, listen, the Bible doesn't say that he and his family were hungry. Does it? Doesn't say, beloved, that they were even in want. It only says that a famine came. And that famine, beloved, so affected his prosperity that he left. He left Bethlehem. Nobody else left that we know of, but he left. Now, get this. Elimelech's love was put to the test. Did you get that? His love for God was put to the test. You see, not only was God testing his faith, we'd already talked about that, but beloved, God was testing his love. It was God's, it was like God was saying, Elimelech, I see how much you care for your wealth and your money, but how much do you care for me? How much do you love me? Lovest thou me more than these? Isn't that what Jesus told Peter, or asked Peter? Lovest thou me? And I can see God speaking to that man's heart. But loving as he contemplated losing his wealth, and God saying, lovest thou me more than these? More than these things. What does God command? What is the greatest commandment of all? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And all thy mind. That's what God, beloved, required of Elimelech. And that's what He requires of each and every one of us. That we love God supremely. Above everything else. Above everything else. I got to thinking of a day about as I was leaving the hospital. And that baby had just been born. I got to thinking about how God tested Abraham's faith. But not only his faith, but He tested his love. His love. Because Abraham loved that son. And God told him to offer that son as a sacrifice. God put His love to the test and said, who do you love more, Abraham? Do you love me or do you love that son I gave you? But Abraham passed the test. Amen. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, that's love. And that's the way we're supposed to love God. That's the way we're supposed to love God. I was talking to somebody the other day. I might have mentioned this to you before. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were saying, I think I did mention it in a sermon or something. They were saying that a couple of weeks ago, they were saying that they prayed every day that if the time ever came when somebody put a gun to their head and said, either renounce God or I'm going to blow your brains out, that He could say, go ahead. Go ahead. And I told him, I said, well, that doesn't bother me as much as if they put a gun to one of my children or my family's head. Then, beloved, that would be hard. That would really be hard. Amen?
Amen?
That would be hard. But that's what this one did. That's what God, beloved, that's what He did. He loved the things that God had given Him more than He loved God. He requires that kind of love of Elimelech. God put His love to the test, and Elimelech failed. Failed. He looked, beloved, at his dwindling bank account, and he looked at God. And then, beloved, he looked over at the prosperity of the land of Moab. You can stand, beloved, on the field outside of Bethlehem and see over into Moab and see the lushness of it. And in his heart, he said, I love the world more. I love the world more. And he followed his first love. Let me tell you something, folks. We all do. We follow our first love. Our first love. That's why, beloved, loving God supremely is so important. That's why it is the greatest commandment of all. That's why Jesus said the first and the second commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. And the second likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Why, those two fulfill all the law. Because you're going to follow that thing that you love first. That's what you're going to cleave to. That's what you're going to hold to. Somebody has a problem obeying God. Not if they love Him with all their heart. Amen?
Amen.
Not if they love Him with all their heart. Somebody has a problem serving God. Not if they love Him with all their heart. Somebody has a problem being faithful to God. Not if they love Him with all their heart. Someone has a problem, beloved, with the world and the flesh and the devil. Not if they love Him with all their heart.
Amen.
Not if they love Him with all their heart. Let me tell you something. There's not a one person here who wouldn't get out of a sick bed if you were so sick that you couldn't hardly make it, but you could get up. There's not a one of us here that wouldn't get up out of a sick bed and go to our children if they needed us. Not a one of us, because we love them. Do we love God that much? Do we love God that much? God put Elimelech's love to the test, just as he did his faith. And Elimelech failed. He failed. Beloved, God will put your love for him to the test. In fact, he does every day. Every day. How much do you love him? How much do you love? Can you hear him saying to you, "Lovest thou me more than these? More than these things? Or this or that or the other?" Tell me, friend, when your love for God is tested, who wins? God or the world and the flesh? Who wins? Who wins? Now this brings up two interesting observations. First, the danger of prosperity. And second, beloved, the blessings. Now follow me on this, because this is going to sound strange. The blessings of trouble and trials. Now, let's look at the danger of prosperity. Beloved, if what we believe is true, if Elimelech was a prosperous, wealthy man, then his prosperity, listen to me, attributed to his downfall. Amen? It attributed to, it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have. It should have made him love God more. It should have made him trust God more. Listen, God had given him those blessings. God had given him that wealth and prosperity because he loved him. But Elimelech began to love the gifts more than the giver. That's the danger of prosperity. To love, beloved, the prosperity more than the one who gives it. That, beloved, is in part what has happened to America, to our nation. Oh, how God has blessed this people, this nation. We started out, beloved, and you folks know this, we started out with nothing. All our founding fathers, beloved, had when they came to these shores was adversity upon adversity. But through their adversity, they had God and they loved God. They loved God. Our founders faced disease and starvation and hostile tribes, but they clung to God, beloved. They loved God and God blessed them. In the Revolutionary War, there we were, a nation of settlers and merchants and farmers, beloved, fighting for our freedom against the mighty armies of England, beloved, probably the greatest armies in the world at that time. But listen, we had God and loved God, and God saw us through and blessed us. This nation pushed westward. Pioneers faced hardship and dangers and drought and floods and Indians and outlaws. But they had God and they loved God and God blessed them. And it was the same in World War I. And it was the same in the Depression. And it was the same in World War II, beloved. We had God and we loved God through all the troubles and trials. But then prosperity came in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, and own, beloved. We have enjoyed the prosperity that God has given us. But isn't it ironic that, beloved, if the more prosperity God has given us, the more, beloved, we have turned from God in our love and devotion and begun to love the prosperity more than we love the God who gives. You see, somewhere along the line, this nation turned its love to the prosperity and turned it away from God. We began to love the world, beloved, and the success and the money and the prestige and the things that money can buy, beloved, more than we love God. We have done as a nation exactly what Elimelech did. Exactly. And the more we prospered, the less we've loved God. Beloved, listen. And the less we've obeyed, and the less we've served Him, and the less we've acknowledged Him. I think what happened to Elimelech was this, and you may disagree, but I think as he prospered, and as he enjoyed all of these blessings and all this wealth, somewhere along the line, he got to thinking all those blessings came from him. Came from his doing, his wisdom, his work, his skill. He forgot, beloved, that all good gifts come from who? From God. From God. And you know, that's what's happened to America. Beloved, we as a nation got to thinking, hey, it was us. It was our efforts. It was our work. It was our genius. It was our toil that brought our prosperity. No, 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 no. Listen, it was God. It was God. It was God. Woo! I burnt my finger before I left home and I just hit that spot. Woo! Okay. Don't do that no more, Rex. And when we turn from God, that's when disaster comes. It came to Elimelech. And it breaks my heart to say this, but it's coming to America. It's coming to America. You know, I got to thinking about it. I think about this. Beloved, God can take bad things and make them good. Amen? God can take bad things that come in our life and make them good. Listen, man, on the other hand, can take good things like prosperity and make them a curse. And make them a curse. That's what Elimelech did. When he began to love the world and the things of the world more than God. The second thing I want you to notice is this, is the blessings of trouble. Of trouble. Elimelech's family, beloved, wasn't always rich and wealthy. I mean, if you recall, beloved, there was a time when either he, I don't know where this story fits in the times of the judges. Times of the judges was 400 years. And I don't know where it fits, at the beginning or in midway or at the end. I don't know it's not at the end because we know that. Well, I won't get into that, but we know it wasn't at the end. It was either at the beginning or in the middle. Beloved, if you know, we know that there was a time, beloved, when either him or his father or his grandfather, beloved, were wandering in the wilderness. And they didn't have anything. They didn't have, beloved, a home. They didn't have possessions. They didn't have substance. They had no land. But oh, listen, they knew God. They had God and they loved God. Beloved, listen, they were so blessed then and did not know it. Blessed in their afflictions. Sure, they had troubles and trials and hardship. But beloved, did you know that there is blessings in trouble? In troubles. Look at Psalm 119. Turn over there real quick. I'm almost through. I know it's past time. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Listen to verse 71. Psalmist says this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Let me ask you something. When are we the closest to God? If you love Him. I mean, if you love Him. When are you the closest to God? When the troubles and the trials come. When the troubles and the trials come. Boy, when the prosperity comes and things are going good, we're just on our own, man. We're okay, you know. God's a second thought to us. But brethren, when the troubles and trials come, we run to Him and we realize that we can't do nothing. And we are nothing. And we are nothing. It is good for me that I have been afflicted and that I might learn thy statutes. How about James chapter 1? Listen to this. James chapter 1. James 1 verses 2 through 4. Listen to this. My brethren, this sounds so weird. Listen to this. My brethren, count it all joy. When ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Beloved, sometimes, as strange as it sounds, it's good for us to have problems. From problems, beloved, we learn and we grow and we exercise our faith and we discover how much we really love God. And we draw near to God, closer to God, and we have sweeter fellowship with God. And we depend on Him more if we love Him. If we love Him. Why did Elimelech depart the house of bread for Moab? There's the physical factor and the spiritual factor and the national factor and the emotional factor. Elimelech let wealth and prosperity rob him of his love for God as he began to love those things more than he loved the Lord. How's your love, folks? Who or what do you love first and foremost? The greatest commandment is this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. And if you do that, everything else falls into place. It falls into place. Any questions or comments? I love y'all. Thank you so much for coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's close in prayer.